I'd like to welcome you to this programme, which is called Shachlé. I'm Marilyn Crellin. Mish Marilyn Crellin, as Bavariam Kerfalcher Udo Sachlé Shaw, as an enemy Shachlé. On Shachlé Heat Shaw, in this edition of Shachlé, the huge inter-Celtic festival, which is held each year in Lorient, continues until this coming Sunday, the 11th of August. Also continuing till Sunday the 11th is another huge Celtic festival, and that's the Eisteddfod, which is being held in the northwest of Wales this year at Llanrwst on the River Conwy. On Sheikhi Jeg Tree Feeders Care, Vakuluk Kuritebun, Uns Port Louis, Uns of Return, Dereka Kokioniakt Ederin Urchen, as the Hingin Shah. Erd red hug na gaudi as na holony colucta na buns on delil mageddon, el ye un spicen van a holiach via costalach. Ta port Louis e chow yesh in has hour na vi lorion. Esht, kioni ferge na stewardin jayen colucht, talu e chow eller in has hour na. Red ta de hour chit noostus a heeden, and scorf as in blave. Hrog e shlau an ernen, de hrogl na long an imachach, de rail susan delil. Hosach harawe un shen, ach de cunil esh, port Louis, ach began er vegan, vishie, as henke de vein as muskan shawl. Kinda rishin kyang lesh a hia, hug ad an enem lorion, er a valya no. Vishie me perts on an huayal, an lingus kagi frangach. As my perts on Laden as son Yeastach. One of the party of about 50 people from the Isle of Man who've gone out to take part in the Lorient Inter-Celtic Festival is Sarah Hendy, who's sending back reports to Manx Radio. We said in Shachlé last time that we'd be hearing from some of Sarah's reports this time. So let's join her as she talks with two members of the Isle of Man government, the Chief Minister Howard Quayle and member of the Legislative Council, Marlene Masker.
It's a phenomenal experience I've never been before. I would recommend anyone who has the time to make the time to come here and experience the fantastic culture. Equally, you should be very proud of the Manx team that are here, the likes of Mira Royals Trio entertaining the public. We've got Julia Ashby-Smythe, who her artwork is absolutely phenomenal, and it's getting large crowds. Not obviously, Mira is a massive draw and has had really good crowds so far, and I know she's giving a concert on Thursday, but it's a phenomenal experience and like-minded Celtic nations coming together, so well worth a visit.
I came when it was the year of the Isle of Man in Cornwall, which I think was 4 years ago, and until you've been and seen the scale of it and the richness of the Celtic gathering and all the arts and the synergy, there's just nothing that compares with it, really. And although you may go back and tell the story, until you've been, and it's so good that the Chief Minister could come this year and spare some of his very valuable time, but it makes you so proud. And this afternoon we've been to the opening of the art exhibition, in which Julia Ashby-Smythe's work is a real draw, a magnet. It's receiving a lot of really positive comment, and then the mix of media from all nations, and as Chief Minister says, you know, it's really a great experience. So, you know, come Isle of Man, all our Celtic nations, come and add to the joy of this, because it really is a joy and something to be proud of as a Manx woman. And it's just great to be here and represent the Isle of Man.
I imagine that in these uncertain times, making connections with the Celtic nations, the Celtic diaspora, and the people of France particularly as well, it must be quite an important part of your work at the moment.
Yes, well, I've certainly met some very interesting people today. I think equally the Manx produce has gone down a storm. The Queenies with bacon and garlic and the Finodery gin, I think that'll be helping Manx relations with French, with the B words, should I say. But yes, really important. It's getting the Isle of Man out there, the 750,000 people expected over this 10-day period, and what a fantastic shop window for the Isle of Man.
And are there any things that you're still looking forward to that are on your list?
Well, I want to see the Mullagh band, so that's got to be one of the treats, see our locals. There was a good team of them at the airport at Ronald's Way. I was talking to them and they were so thrilled at going and taking part, so want to go and support them. That's one of my aims for the remainder of my short time.
Ged and Jeg, of course, and the Grand Parade, which again, until you've actually witnessed it, it's just mind-blowing, and you can't imagine. I think it takes about 4 hours for it to pass by, and the Isle of Man in there with the flag flying high, and again, I know, Chief Minister, the goosebumps will be there. We'll be so proud to be there as Manx peoples.
Nation celte, c'est l'île de Man qui est située au beau milieu de la mer entre l'Angleterre et l'Irlande. Une terre celte connue pour ses chats qui n'ont pas de queue et ses béliers qui ont 4 cornes. C'est pas une blague, hein. Elle est représentée par le groupe Skedanjorg, qui veut dire hareng rouge, car le hareng fumé est l'une des spécialités de cette île. C'est un tout jeune groupe de danse traditionnelle fondé par une jeune femme qui s'appelle Grania et qui a une belle et longue histoire avec le festival interceltique, puisque la première fois qu'elle y a participé, elle n'avait que 6 ans.
And what comes over as well is all these other nations really love the Isle of Man and want us to succeed and bring all this special culture that we have. We always aim high and punch high, and every year is a new year. And good luck to everybody again for the rest of the week. Fantastic.
Howard Quayle, and he was looking forward to going to support the Mullagh Band. We heard the Mullagh Band singing Part of Manra, a version in Manx of the very popular song Happy by Pharrell Williams. The words translated into Manx by Bob Carswell. Marlene Masker referred to the parade, which winds several miles through the streets of Lorient, from up near the railway station, down to the quayside, and then back up to the football stadium. We heard part of the coverage of the parade with Cyril Ferro, describing the involvement of Manx dance group Skedanjorg. Playing for their dancing was David Kilgallen on fiddle, Paul Collister on mandola, Ray Deloso on whistle, and Owen Williams on guitar. Sanach aga mua, frogna gamani, bun inid fo veren, uns lorion, as machen, and balia stroit buns de bollock, ek etlin and blaist and goldach. Tabalia lorion ton nish, Navalia J. Trogel and a Sarej in Noem Shirach, a son Shigaris, Te Navalia Danalia Eda Kelchach, Muras Taustach Blaine. We heard Ray Deloso and Owen Williams briefly, and apart from playing for Skedanjorg, they make up the two other members of the Mira Royal Trio. They'll accompany Mira, the winner of the BBC Radio 2 Young Folk Award, and for her visit to Lorient, she's just released a second album of music, this one called Woven. This year in Lorient, the honoured country is Galicia, so Mira does her bit with a piece on the Woven album called Dulugo. Thank you. Mary Royal on harp playing piece Dulugo from Galicia. The Mary Royal Trio will be playing this evening in the Église Saint-Louis in Lorient. Tafelia Kelchach Muella, Gole Kummel, and Hid Schacht and Luniston Dach Blaine on Spretten, as to Shen and a Stedford a Shunach. Tan a Stedford, Ginuur Dalia J. Kultur's Chinia Vretten, Tan Failia Trolt by Borgus Ball Dach Blaine. Devlein Eda Henna, Veyuns Anglesey, Nuri Veyuns Cardiff, as Melina Te Gulla Kummel Uns Clan Roost. Mishen, Hanele for the Vian Menai Strait as an Elian Anglesey. Egan of Stedford, Tan a Smoon a Dare he Jai Wen as Died, Sun Slide a Hashman a Ruthen Jint as Ersit Sarretan. Lioran, Edach, Jeshach Teres, Elenin as Keaden, Gryan, Kioli, Dacholia Rudd, as Ulyu Curita Oi Trude Bretnish. For the Develiker Yinder Serslai, Nach Rau and Brunus de Inu and Elia de Sledden Bretnach, Jint ach uns Nike Jeg, Jai is Died. The Gorseth has been directly associated with the Stedford for about 160 years now. Gorseth literally means a throne, so the idea is that this is a sort of royal court made up of bards. It famously makes awards for poetry in the form of a bardic chair and a crown, and also presents a medal for prose. It honours people who've made a substantial contribution to Welsh culture and to Celtic culture elsewhere. Mona Douglas was admitted as a bard of the Gorseth with the bardic name Mona Manow, Mona of the Isle of Man. There are delegates invited to the Gorseth and the Stedford from the Oireachtas in Ireland, in Mod in Scotland, and from Incruniacht here in the Isle of Man, as well as from the Gorseth of Patagonia in Argentina, where a Welsh colony was formed in the 19th century, and from Cornwall and Brittany. The Monday afternoon crowning ceremony is prefaced by a ceremony where the Celtic delegates are officially received. Let's hear something of that.
Pnawn da i chi gyd, a chroeso i ddefod y coroni.
Hybarch a'r cwtherwydd. Yn ôl yr arfer, mae gyda ni gynrychiolwyr yma o'r gwledydd Celtaidd eraill. A fy ni di ei derbyn nhw nawr i'r llwyfan.
Mynad wrth gwrs, dewch i'r llwyfan.
O Ynys Manaw, yn Cryniacht, Annie Cysac a Phil Gôn.
Monday afternoon ceremony, where amongst the Celtic delegates were Annie Cysac, Hector Aine and Cruniach, and Phil Gawn. There's a Gorseth in Cornwall and one in Brittany, as well as the Gorseth of Patagonia in Argentina. And delegates from those wear their official robes and take their place as part of the Gorseth ceremonies. Phil Gawn spoke at Incruniacht this year to former Grand Bard of Gorseth Curnow, Merv Davy.
I finished my tour duties Grand Bard in Cornwall last September, and I'm now an itinerant musician for dance groups and play bagpipes, so that's a very good deal. But The Grand Bard is a bit like the Welsh Archdruid. I chair the Gorseth and I carry the ceremonies. And the Gorseth itself is an organisation which promotes Cornish culture and especially Cornish language and Cornish national identity.
I was thrilled to know that there was a particular form of Cornish lessons taking place which took its inspiration from the Isle of Man.
Indeed, indeed. I think sometimes we small nations need to keep together. We get a lot of inspiration from each other. I'm going back now in 1976, a long time ago, and at that time I just escaped from London, gone back to Cornwall, living in Cornwall, and I came to the Celtic Congress, which that year was held on the island, and I was learning Cornish at home, and at home it was very, very structured. You do 1 year and you take your stage one examination, 2 years stage two, 3 years stage three, and so on, and it was like being back at school again. And I came here and it was being taught in a very, very informal way. It was the pub, basically, you know, and a group of friends who came over here were really impressed with this, because it's a more real way of doing it. I think the official term is immersion. That's the sort of technical term. But what they were doing, they were dropping people in it and they were muddling their way through, but they were learning it by ear as they went along. And we liked the idea of that, and we kind of, I'm not even sure that it had a name on the Isle of Man. It was just our classes are down at the local pub, basically. But we called it a Yaith an Werin, which means the language of the ordinary person. And our idea was you might perhaps learn Cornish in an informal way over a pint in the pub, rather than going to formal lessons. And it's strange, but over the years, the Yaith an Werin has become an institution in Cornwall. I say institution in the lightest sense. And what happens now is, in addition to the classes, in addition to learning it, and when you've finished learning it, there are a number of pubs and clubs and cafes around Cornwall where people meet up for a Yaith an Werin, and it is described as such, and it's borrowed straight from the island.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's encouraging to know that our fondness for Manx language and pints of beer has inspired you in Cornwall. For those listening who don't know very much about Cornish, could you give us a little bit of a very brief sort of run through the history of the language?
Well, basically, in the way that you've got the Isle of Man sitting between Scotland and Ireland and sharing a language with Scotland and Ireland, Scots Gaelic and Irish Gaelic, Cornwall lies between Wales and Brittany, and our Celtic language is a Brythonic form, and we're sitting between Wales and Brittany, and we're very close to Wales and Brittany in its structure. So Cornish, if you like, is the language between Breton and Welsh. It's probably closer to Breton because the history is that Brittany was populated by people migrating from Cornwall, and up until about 1,000 years ago the language was the same. If you go back to our sort of first millennium history in Britain, then we'd all be speaking the same language, and it gradually drifted apart and became a separate language in about the 11th century, so it's quite recent really. But it sounds to some people a bit like Breton.
And of course, this is the classic thing for us Celts. We're all doing something remarkably similar, so we have to have a split.
That's the way it goes, is it not? Yes. It's a shame, I suppose, in a way that we didn't all speak the same Gaelic language. But the thing is actually it's quite a rich culture having all these different things. If you can accept different dialects, different stories and that to go with it, I think it's quite powerful to have different linguistic traditions.
Tell us a bit about the way in which Cornish is being revived now.
Well, it's being revived basically through a series of classes. There's some being taught in school, but it's on a fairly informal basis. We don't have any, it's not part of the curriculum, which is obviously going to be an issue for us. Our curriculum is still defined by Westminster, and Westminster ain't really that interested in Cornish. Having said that, Cornish was recognised as a national minority language in 2006, and this was reinforced by the Cornish national minority status, which was recognised in 2014. Now, this is quite important because it means that the British government, the UK government, recognises the Cornish as a national minority, as a national people of the UK. And by doing so, it implies that it's going to help us with our language. And that slowly dawned on Westminster, and the money's trickling through a little tiny bit. But we don't have the advantage you have in having a primary school in a Cornish medium. That we have to do ourselves. What we do have is a fairly formidable academic background. We have an academic Academic in Newark, which actually looks at modernising Cornish and will agree on spellings and so on. One of the problems with the minority language is that it can be free-for-all when it comes to spelling, and it can be free-for-all when a new word comes through. And what we have is an academy based with the Exeter University, which has a campus in Cornwall, and they will look at it and decide how best to spell something. It's not a rigid thing. People are encouraged to celebrate the variety of linguistic culture we have in Cornwall, but they will say if you're going to teach it or use it publicly, use this spelling, but celebrate all the other spellings as well.
Yeah, I think we've generally managed quite well not to have any sort of internal splits in our language community, although there has been a move recently of a few revisionists looking at some of the words that we're using and then perhaps suggesting others. But I think, again, so long as we stick to the idea that language is for communication and it doesn't really matter too much which of the many choices of words you use, if the live and let live approach seems to work okay.
It does, and I think increasingly Cornwall will be more relaxed about that. I think you needed to go through a time when you became quite precious in order to consolidate it. We've done that now, we've got that bit done. And what we're finding now is that we're finding ways of people engaging with the language without necessarily being fluent speakers. I was engaged recently in a very successful project in singing ordinary common sea shanties in Cornish. And of course, with a sea shanty, everyone knows. Everyone knows Drunken Sailor.
Yeah.
And you translate it in Cornish, you still understand it. You can still belt it out, whether you can sing or not. And what we find is, of course, people are singing it. They're engaging in the Cornish. They're listening to the Cornish. They're enjoying it. But they're not having to be precious about learning it, not precious about the spelling or anything else.
So just for the benefit of our listeners then, and as you know, You have no excuse to escape from this. I wonder, would you be prepared to sing us a verse of something in Cornish just to sing us out of the interview?
My voice, it's not really a singing voice, but a Marna Metho is the drunken sailor. Fandagunny Gil, Gans and Marna Metho, what can we do with a drunken sailor?
Okay, so that's as close as we're going to get then, is it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Well, good to my moyo, son Lotrun. Thank you very much for speaking to us.
Be that, Marastis. Thank you.
Yindasak.
Former Grand Bard of the Cornish Gorseth, Merv Davy. Also taking part in the ceremony were delegates from the Breton Gorseth. Phil Gorn also spoke at Incruniac to Lors Landa about the Breton language, which is the language of the Breton Gorseth, and particularly about singing in Breton.
So the Breton language is a Brittonic Celtic language. It's very close to Cornish or Welsh, maybe closer to Cornish one. Because that kind of Britons went from Wales and Devonshire and Cornwall and the Middle Age, the first part of Middle Age. So when we sing in Breton language, we put in, you know, the lyrics are very important. We tell stories, of course, but for the dance you have the possibilities to create a new emotional contact with the dancer. That's why we're not on the notes, you know, each time it's more sort of relationships, new relationship with the dancer. We're pretty free to do what we want. We keep the structure, because Breton language is very rhythmical, we can say that. Rhythmical language with a lot of stuff like that, so it's very easy to do something with the dances.
And isn't that so important as well, that you can communicate either with dancers or people who are listening to your music, you tease them a bit with the, you know, people roughly know perhaps what the tune's going to be, and then you sort of trick them by playing or singing something slightly different. And again, I just love the way in which you get emotion, you real strong emotion into your voice.
Yeah, it's a sort link with jazz music, because a lot of improvisations, if you keep the sentences and the meaning of the sentences and keep a little bit of the melody meanwhile, we can do what we want. And there's a lot of improvisation with the la la la, as you can say one sentence. You have to purpose new things. Things are not, you're not waiting for it, you're not expecting. So that's made for the dancers, it means something.
Yeah, well, it's been really interesting to hear from you today. But it's great to have you on the island. As Lievensgray, Gura Mai Moyo, Son Chitkus Manan, Astresiam, the Jin Mud Clashen, Rishjach, and you would say in Breton.
Merci, Brazor, Kenavo.
Laurent Landat, a teacher from Brittany who teaches the Breton language, and in fact, he'll be very busy at the moment as one of the organisers of the festival in Lorient. Ta shen kerleshin just Gerra and Kermach Shaw Shachler. Shachler will be back again next Thursday, but now from me, Vaughan Marilyn Crellin, Sledden You.